ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Because it doesn't say danger, false teacher. That would be wonderful. But they don't. They've crept in. And it's the idea with that is to slip in, secretly, as if by a side door. Someone's let them in. Spurgeon said, Satan knows right well that one devil in the church can do far more than 1,000 devils outside her bounds. Absolutely. So how do you bring false teaching into the church? One of the ways is you attack the seminaries. And at these seminaries that are teaching these young men who are going to be pastors, you start getting them to discredit what the Bible has to say. You get them to deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And you would be shocked at the number of seminaries that do. That's how dangerous this is. So these guys graduate, they come into the churches now, they've got their congregation, they got their people, and now they're bringing them what? This false teaching. And when someone stands up and says, hey, that's not right, and it's usually someone who's older and mature in the Lord, well, if you don't like it, you could leave. Wow. In fact, that's what Rick Warren said when people didn't want to buy into his gimmicks. Just ignore them. They'll either die or they'll leave. Well, that's a pretty Christian attitude to have. Peter in 2 Peter 3:16 warned about these deceivers. And he kind of spoke about Paul a little bit, how Paul sometimes used words that were really difficult to understand. Yeah, Paul was a brilliant guy. Some of the things he had to say was hard. And so what these deceivers, these apostates would do is twist what Paul was saying to make it fit what they wanted. Peter said, untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction as they do also the rest of the scripture. So not just what Paul was saying, but they twist all the scripture to make it fit their plan, what they want to say. And Peter warns us, these guys are coming. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. In fact, that phrase destructive heresies literally means teachings that will destroy a person in hell. Is that serious? Absolutely it is. Well, what's the point? The point is they're giving you things that will make you feel good, but they're leading you away from God. Oh, you're not really a sinner. You're a good person. God would, God loves you. You don't have to, the word sin is a horrible word. We're not going to talk about that anymore. Well, then why do you need a Savior? Oh, because Jesus gives us the example of how we're to live. He wasn't really the Savior, but he's just given us an example. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Have you not read something Jesus said to the Jewish religious leaders a lot? Have you not read? Go back and study the scriptures, because in there you'll find out what you're saying is wrong. And the same is true here. Remember Jim Jones, some of you may, supposedly a Christian, he wasn't. But when you look at his life, he seemed to be saved. He started out teaching the Bible. He was a pastor, but he was a wolf in sheep's clothing. He was an apostate. Think, well, how could I be so sure? Because he deviated from the word of God, the truth of God. And it got worse and worse and worse. And he would heal parishioners by pretending to draw forth cancers that actually were bloody chicken gizzards. So he used props to trick people. And his megalomania soared, said his old associate, the Reverend Case, Jim stopped calling himself the reincarnation of Jesus and started calling himself God. He said he was the actual God who made the heavens and the earth. Jones ordered his followers to buy and sell pictures of him to ward off evil. He demanded for the temple's coffers all members' savings and earnings, amassing a fortune that a former member estimates at $15 million. Can you believe that? Could you imagine? Hey, I've got some cards of me here. You want to sell them for me? You'd be out of the church like that. With his discipline, it ended up going to brutal beatings if the people didn't comply to what he wanted. When he was in Indianapolis, he threw his Bible to the floor and yelled at his associates, "Too many people are looking at this instead of me." Wow. You know, those are red flags, guys. You know, the Lord's going, "Hey, pay attention. This is dangerous. Don't follow this guy. He thinks he's Jesus. He thinks he's God. What are you doing?" He wants the attention. But he took his congregation, the people's temple, to the jungles of Guyana on the northern coast of South America. Back in 1978, he convinced or tricked some 900 people to commit suicide by drinking cyanide-laced grape juice. And he was found shot to death. He was an apostate. But there were so many warnings, even before he went to South America. Don't follow this guy. When anyone esteems a pastor or leader like a god, that is a dangerous sign, a very dangerous sign. And it usually ends in death and destruction. What about those that are coming in unnoticed, that are slipping in secretly through the side door, you might say? You contend for the faith. You'll know what they're involved with. I'll give you this example. This article is from June of 2020. Some of you know of Andy Stanley. He was the son of Charles Stanley, the pastor of North Point Community Church in Georgia, Southern Baptist Church. He is one of the most influential evangelicals and a master, so-called, of communication, a church growth guru, and he builds mega churches. In 2016, he said, "If you don't go to a large church, you are so stinking selfish and don't care about your kids." So if you go to a small church, you're a horrible person. You're destroying your kids. He has a tolerant view on homosexuality. He says he has no intention of pushing a Christian agenda on other people. He said that churches should not make people feel like they have to leave because they're gay. They don't have to leave, but they can't consider themselves Christians. That's just not how it works. In a sermon entitled "When Gracie Met Truthy," April 15, 2012, Stanley described a couple in his church who divorced when his wife discovered that her husband was in a sexual relationship with another man. And instead of disciplining the man, the church allowed the homosexual couple to move to another campus of North Point Church and work together as a host team. Are you kidding me? I wonder when that person stands before the Lord and God says, "I never knew you," how are we going to feel about Andy Stanley and what he had to say to him? He minimizes the importance of the virgin birth. In a 2016 sermon, he said, "A lot of people don't believe it, the virgin birth of Christ, and I understand that. Maybe the thought is they had to come up with some kind of myth about the birth of Jesus to give him street cred later on. Maybe that's where that came from. Now what you're saying is you can't trust what this says, but this was added at a much later date. So, you know, it just made Jesus more someone you could worship more." You're denying the word of God. There was someone else in the Bible that did that. I think the way he said it is, "Has God indeed said?" Who was that? Oh, that was Satan in the Garden of Eden. When you start denying the word, "Has God indeed said?" you're not for God, you're against him. Earlier this year, Stanley minimized the importance of the role Scripture plays in the life of a believer. 2009, he said, "The preaching through the Bible verse by verse isn't how you grow people. No one in the Scripture modeled that. There's not one example of that." Are you kidding me? There's not one example? What did Paul tell Timothy? "Preach the word, be ready in season, convince." Isn't that the focus of the church? Read the pastoral epistles. The focus is always on the preaching of the word. The church is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth, the foundation. Well, you got to have the truth before you, and that's the Word of God. In a 2016 series, Who Needs God, he said, if the Bible is the foundation of our faith, it's all or nothing. Christianity becomes a fragile house of cards religion. Christianity becomes a fragile house of cards that comes tumbling down when we discover that perhaps the walls of Jericho didn't. What your students have discovered, and if you read broadly, you've discovered, it is next to impossible to defend the entire Bible. But if your Christianity hangs by the thread of proving that everything in the Bible is true, you may be able to hang on to it, but your kids and your grandkids and the next generation will not. That is totally wrong. You see, what he's doing is getting us to doubt what God has said in his word. The walls of Jericho didn't fall down. Well, you better go look at some of the archaeological finds because they didn't fall inward, because that's what happens when you come in and you push walls down to get into a city. They fell outward just like God said. And to say that if you are believing these things, your kids are just going to reject it is false. When my kids were not walking with God, when they were into drugs and all kinds of stuff, when they came back, my son said to me, Dad, the one thing that I noticed is that your faith never wavered. Can you imagine you guys could do whatever you want. It's okay. How that would have impacted them in a negative way. But the way I believe that this is the word of God and this is how I am to live impacted them in a positive way. You see what he's doing? He's getting us to doubt God's word here. Again, I'm not trying to offend anyone here. It's just the way it is. This is from Rick Warren a few years back from the Pew Forums on Religion. But this is what he said. Who's the man of peace in any village? Or it may be a woman of peace. Who has the most respect? They're open and they're influential. They do not have to be a Christian. In fact, they could be a Muslim, but they're open and they're influential, and you work with them to attack the five giants. And that's going to bring the Second Reformation. No, I thought it was Jesus Christ, the gospel message that brings about a reformation. But what are these five pillars? It's a garbage teaching. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I can have a Muslim teach them about that. This is a big deal, guys. And I kind of get passionate about it. Sorry, I don't mean to. But I do get very passionate about it because people are listening to these guys. And you've got faithful men that are teaching the word of God and no one wants to hear them. Tragic. God's truth does not change. Never, ever. If it did, can you imagine? Well, you know, the homosexuality thing, you know, we're in a different time, it's got to change. Well, then what about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, and then no man comes to the Father except through him? Why can't we change that too? Why can't we update it? All roads lead to God, some have. I've told you this before. I cannot change what's in here. And you know why? I'm not the author. Could you imagine getting the book War and Peace and editing it and selling it? You do not have the legal right to do that because you're not the author. Only the author could do it. Only God can change this. I'll let you in on a little secret. God does not change. What he has said sticks today and onward. God's word will endure forever. It does not change. One author said this. He said, how could false brethren get into the true assemblies of the saints? The soldiers had gone to sleep at the post. The spiritual leaders in the churches had grown complacent and careless. This explains why Jude had to blow the trumpet to wake them up. Our Lord and his apostles all warned that false teachers would arise, yet the churches did not heed the warnings. Sad to say, some churches are not heeding the warnings today. Absolutely. I mean, remember when we, you know, the whole COVID thing and then the rioting and the Black Lives Matter, and how many churches had people marching with Black Lives Matter, a communist organization? We are not here for, the primary purpose of the church is not for social agenda. The primary purpose of the church is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through that, we help people out. We give them food. We help them out where we can. But the primary reason is to bring the gospel message, because if it wasn't needed, then God might as well take us home the minute we get saved, because there is no real purpose for us. Just take us home. But we've become a social institution, and we're meeting everyone's needs, and we're not bringing the gospel message. And this is, again, a very difficult issue. I can't, over the last 26 years, I was going to say over the last few years, really the last 26 years, I've had to deal with a lot of this stuff. I remember back in this, must have been in the 80s, Dave Hunt was sharing about how psychology was coming into the church and it was going to hurt the church. And no one wanted to listen. Churches closed the door to that. I don't know if you've noticed, but I have seen how psychiatry brought into the church has devastated churches. Psychology, psychiatry, do they get it right sometimes? Sure. Sometimes I build something and it works. Most of the time it doesn't. Same with psychiatry. Why do you have to keep going back over and over and over and over and over and over again? Because you're never cured. But I can go to my wonderful counselor and I can lay it at his feet and he can give me a peace that surpasses all understanding and it doesn't cost me $200 an hour. It's free. And I could be set free from that bondage. I had a friend whose husband died. They were young, not married very many years. He had brain tumors and he had, I don't know, some 20 plus surgeries on his brain. And he finally died. And she was going to a psychiatrist. And over and over again. And she finally said, look, I'm done. He goes, well, you can't be done yet. You still have to come and see me. She says, no. Every time I come here, we rehash the same stuff that we talked about last time. And I feel horrible again. I want to move on. And she did. Exactly. Why can't we bring it to Jesus? Oh, you don't know the pain I'm going through. No, I don't. But he does. And it's flooded into the church now where we are building up self. I've heard people say, look, you can't help anyone until you first take care of yourself. Well, is that biblical? I mean, it sounds good. Yeah, that makes sense. If I don't take care of myself, I can't take care. No, it's not biblical because the Bible says you die to self. Huh. So it's not about me. No, it's never been about you. In fact, it's always too much about me. What did John the Baptist say? I must decrease so he may increase. I must die to self. I need to take up my cross. I need to follow Jesus. Self gets in the way. Four verses. Hey, praise God we got through four verses, right? It could have been three. But this is an important issue to deal with, guys. Because I'm telling you, it's going to get more intense out there as we get closer to the Lord's return. What do I mean by that? I mean that the churches today that have compromised their faith will start coming against you and what you believe. Oh, you're so hateful. You don't allow homosexuals. You don't accept that? Transgenderism? Kids have a choice to make if they want to be a boy or a girl. What's wrong with you? Abortion? Come on, you're so hateful. Where's the love of God? And you need to know how to answer that. You don't love that person, but I do, and you know why? Because I'm willing to tell them that what they're doing is wrong and that Jesus loves them and died for them, and they need to repent of their sin and come to him. You see, I want them to go to heaven. You're sending them to hell. So I do love them because I'm telling them what they need to hear. You need to know how to defend your faith. You need to know how to contend for the faith. Because the church is the thing that's going to come against you. I've seen it over the last few years where the church is fighting against believers. And it's very sad. You know, Jude said, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. We need to do that. We need to contend earnestly for the faith that has been entrusted to us because the pretenders are coming, the apostates, and they're here. You know, Paul said in Titus 1:16, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Yeah. And I'll close with these words from Warren Wiersbe. He kind of sums it up for us. He said, the church is always one generation short of extinction. If our generation fails to guard the truth and entrust it to our children, then that will be the end. When you think of the saints and martyrs who suffered and died so that we might have God's truth, it makes you want to take your place in God's army and be faithful unto death. What does it mean to contend for the faith? The Greek word is an athletic term that gives us our English word agonize. It is the picture of a devoted athlete competing in the Greek games and stretching his nerves and muscles to do his very best to win. You never fight the Lord's battles from a rocking chair or a soft bed. Both the soldier and the athlete must concentrate on doing their best and giving their all. There must also be teamwork, believers working together to attack and defeat the enemy. And that, I'm just going to stop there for a second, sorry. But that's what this whole COVID thing did. It closed the churches down. We lost the teamwork. We lost that fellowship. And how wonderful it is to be back. But it's something that they want to destroy because they know the church is the problem in these last days for them to do what they want to do. We're not going to compromise what we believe in. So they're going to come after us. And we need to be ready. How are we going to deal with it? He goes on. Sometimes you hear well-meaning people say, well, it's fine to contend for the faith, but don't be so contentious. While it's true that some of God's soldiers have been the cause of quarrels and divisions, it's also true that some of them have paid a great price to defend the faith. As Christian soldiers, we must not fight each other or go around looking for trouble, but when the banner of Christ is in danger of being taken by the enemy, we cannot sit idly by, nor can we ever hope to win the victory by wearing kid gloves. Charles Spurgeon once said that the new views are not the old truth in a better dress, but deadly errors with which we can have no fellowship. False doctrine is a deadly poison that must be identified, labeled, and avoided. Spurgeon also said, I cannot endure false doctrine. However, neatly it may be put before me. Would you have me eat poisoned meat because the dish is of the choicest ware? We must also speak the truth in love, and the weapons we use must be spiritual. At the same time, we must dare to take our stand for the faith, even if our stand offends some and upsets others. We are not fighting personal enemies, but the enemies of the Lord. It is the honor and glory of Jesus Christ that is at stake. Fight the good fight of faith. Absolutely, guys. I have lost friends because of the stands that I have taken. And I think, again, this is going to get more intense. With the, you know, internet and social media, false doctrine just goes crazy. I told you before I had to deal with, you know, these Christians that all they spoke about was a flat earth, and they were, you know, putting down Christians to believe the earth was round. And, you know, I get these feeds every day, and it's, after a while I just get tired of it. And I, you know, I shared some scripture that showed that the earth is a sphere, and they tried to deny. And I said, I finally said, look, if you want to believe the earth is flat, yeah, praise God, go for it, man. I said, but you know what I've noticed that each of your posts is you've never spoken about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You only speak about a flat earth, and that won't bring anyone to heaven. And that was the end of the post. Isn't he the main thing? We could get off on so many tangents. Don't focus on Jesus. We can know the truth because we have spirit testers. It's the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit, our spirit tester. I don't know, I'm aging myself, but when I was a kid, you know, we had the TVs that had the little tubes in them. And when the TV went out, you had to take the tube to the store. I think it was Woolworths that we went to for it. And they had tube testers, and you put it in to test the tube. If it lit up, oh, that tube's okay. Next one, oh, that one's bad. We got to replace that one. You take teaching, you put it in the spirit tester, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Show me. Lights up. Oh, that is in the Word of God. That is true. Or, well, that doesn't light up at all. That's false teaching. I need to get rid of it. Contend earnestly for the faith that has been entrusted to you guys. So important in the days that we are living in. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words from Jude. And they're pretty tough. And I understand why it was hard for Jude to write this. He wanted to write about the common salvation. It's, you know, it's rejoicing and joyful and now contending and fighting against this false teaching that's come into the church. But there is a huge warning coming up. that we see in the following verses, the judgment that you bring upon those that are bringing these destructive heresies into the church. And I pray, Lord, help us. Help us to stand strong in love, not to be obnoxious, but in love, and share the truths of God found in the Word of God, to stand upon that and not deviate to the right or the left, but stay focused on what you say in your Word. You said it, I believe it, it's the end of story. Thank you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.